the light of the world. And so understand this, light is not mental. In other words, you can gather all kind of doctrine and knowledge and book understanding. You can get all, know all the doctrines in the Bible. You can know the scripture from beginning to end, but still have no light. But still have no light. And so that, you know, that should be a pondering point for you. How much light do I have? Not how much knowledge have I gained, but how much light do I have about the things of God?
Praise the name of Jesus. Welcome. Can we say, welcome, Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is here. It is He that we desire. Where's Chris? Chris is in the back. Rocky's going to help me with this. Life in the Spirit. We got so much from it. You know, the 10% and the 90% was phenomenal. But the one that she said about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. God is the operator. Jesus is the administrator. And the Holy Spirit is the manifester. So the manifestation is here today. He's here. And Pastor, I thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest himself the way that he did this morning. Because we learned on yesterday, we have to push past our own thinking, push past our own so-called Christian religious knowing. We have to push past that because most of what I would say 90% of what we think is Christianity is just a worldly, dressed up imitation of the world in reality. If we compare the Book of Acts church, come on now. Let us compare the Book of Acts church to what we call church today. I'm just letting you do that. Just go back and read the first 4 or 5 chapters of the Book of Acts. The beginning of the birth of, Pastor said, a community of believers. Because they didn't even call it church. A community of believers that went house to house praying and fasting and glorifying God. Their only mission was to seek his presence more and more and more and have the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That was all they did. Stan, all they did was went to house and had a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I don't remember hearing about a choir. Hello. I didn't read it. I mean, and I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest? Should I say this, Lord? Jesus. We've been hoodwinked. My grandkids had the movie Little Red Riding Hood. At first, I ain't like it, Rocky. You know me. You know, I ain't like it. I'm like, oh, no, we're not watching this. But the more I watched it, the more I realized that I'm standing here today and I can say, Stan, I was 69 on 2 days ago. And my grandmother raised me up from the cradle in church. I didn't just start this. I got baptized at about 8 or 9 in a creek alongside the road. We didn't have fancy baptism pools then. But in all that I have learned, in all that I have been exposed to, and all that was given to me, had very little to do. Very little, y'all. Very little, Rocky. with living in Christ and letting the Spirit have its reign in your life. Oh, I was taught to go to church. And I have to confess and repent that I brought my children up in church, in religion. And you know what religion is? It's just a form without any power. It's a bunch of rules and doctrines, a bunch of do's and don'ts. But it has very little to do with the love of the Father. It has very little to do with my being transformed. I ain't come over here to mess with you. I know you think I'm coming over here to mess with you. Look, he's sitting like this, y'all. He's very nervous right about then. Like, oh, God, what is she going to do to me? Take my shoes off, that's all. See, we had a hard time with what was going on in here this morning. Let's be truthful. Some of us had a hard time with what was going on in here this morning. In the right tier. This is not what you used to come in this Sunday morning for. But see, in Acts, those first five chapters, they were on the earth, but they was in heaven at the same time. So what the Holy Spirit was trying to do to us this morning was to break the barrier so that we could go into the heavenlies. Do you see those girls dancing? I got up and went to the back. And all of a sudden, I saw heaven open up. They said that there are angels around the throne of God. And I could just see their wings fluttering. See, we have a concept of what worship and what churchdom is that the Holy Spirit is trying to get out of us. He's trying to push past all that we think is God and what he desires. Don't you know he was so blessed in here this morning? He stood up on his throne. And we're sitting here going, what's going on? Lord, help me, Jesus. Okay. We're going to live an ascended life. We're going to talk about that today. Living an ascended life. We have to transition from earth to heaven. And that's what the Holy Spirit was trying to do in here this morning. He was trying to push us out of the norm, push us out of the flesh. You know what, Stan? We didn't have church back in the day until somebody hooped and hollered. Somebody ran around the church. Bernadine Wright? Come on, y'all. Who said something? All day. I mean, church them from start to finish. Ayashaya, Hibakota, yeah. But it didn't change me. It didn't help me. It was a lot of bodily exercise. Oh, it was a lot of bodily exercise. It was. It was a lot of bodily exercise. But did it transition me from earth to heaven? Did it open up the heavenly realm for me? Did it give me a hunger and a thirst to be in Jesus' presence? I wanted to be in church. I was raised not to be in his presence, but to be in church. And it's a big difference. It's a big difference. You can go to church and not have his presence all day long. It don't mean that he lives there. It doesn't mean that that's his tabernacle, that's his sanctuary, that's where he abides. And God is trying to build him a kingdom. We read in the confession, a kingdom that's going to do what? Last forever. And he's trying to build it in us and through us. That's our purpose as being born again believers. That's what God wants, the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay, let's do this, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Do y'all know Revelation 21 and 5 said, behold, I want to do a new thing. Jesus said that to John on the Isle of Patmos, I'm trying to do a new thing. And we read that, but we stay in the old thing. Oh, we read it. We read it. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Now, today. Today was a demonstration of what? A new thing. I'm so happy. I am, Pastor Gloria. I'm so happy. I am so happy. I know there are some people that just don't understand it. But Mr. Boyd, I am just so happy that the new thing is springing forth in Prevailing Word Ministry. That the new thing is springing forth. It's been 70 years, but now I get to taste the new thing. I get to taste the new thing, y'all. I get to taste the new thing. Don't y'all get tired of the old, old stuff? Come on. There's a new thing arising in the realm of spirituality. He's finally breaking through, Pastor. He's breaking through. He's breaking through. Isaiah saw it some years and years ago, and here we get to live in it. We get to live in it, Pastor Gloria. We get to live in the springing forth of God doing a new thing, the Holy Spirit demonstrating himself in a new way in the earth, bringing the presence of Jesus. Not form and fashion, but the presence of Jesus into our hearts. I will do a new thing now. It's going to spring forth. Don't you know it? See, in order to understand, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. In order for me to know that this is a new thing, I've got to first get an understanding, a knowing that there is supposed to be a new thing. And what Pastor Garner has been doing in PWM, Chris, is priming us. He's been priming us. He's been priming us. He's been priming us. He's been trying to get us ready because I know there's something new about to come. I know there's something dawning on the horizon. So I've been trying to get you ready, Pastor Jerry. I've been preaching the cross ever since I've been here for 15 years. I've been hearing him talk about the cross and self-denial, laying down my life, living in the spirit, letting God have his way. Why was he doing that? Priming me. Getting me ready to know, Pastor Roz, that there's something coming. If you don't know it's something coming, it'll pass you by. I know y'all sitting here thinking I'm crazy. But it really don't matter. Okay. It really doesn't matter. But I'm going to break it down to you. Break it down. All right. Jesus was... Okay, let's back it up. Okay. Israel. I messed up a little bit. Okay. Israel was waiting on their Messiah, right? Was it waiting on their Messiah? And they had an idea or a notion in their head of what their Messiah was going to look like, how he was going to come. Hello? Hello? Didn't Israel for years was waiting on the Messiah? And he's coming. We know he's coming. He's coming on a horse and chariot. He's going to have a robe. He's going to have an entourage with him. He's going to be king, and he's going to rule over Israel. He's going to take the Roman establishment down. He's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And here comes Jesus that they've been waiting for. Born in a manger, in a stable. Come on, y'all. Come on, stay with me. They thought they knew. They thought they knew. They thought they was waiting, and they were ready for him. So they thought. And when he came on the scene, in a new way, he came in a new and a different way. He came in a new and a different way. And what? They missed their opportunity. He said, I came to my own. Help me preach, Pastor Miss Brenda. And my own received me not. He showed up in PWM this morning with some white dresses. Where in white dresses at? In some white dresses. instead of a choir robe. Habashandeyase. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. He showed up in a white dress this morning instead of a choir robe marching down the aisle. See, he's going to do a new thing. See, y'all better set your mind to it. You got to push past your own thinking. Push past what you think you know, because you're going to miss the new thing. You're going to miss the new thing because you're so stuck in the old thing. You're stuck in your mindset. You're talking what you were taught by your bishop. Yeah, I'm going to mess. He told you that this was Christianity. And you was hoodwinked. I was hoodwinked too. Okay, I'll do this. I ain't going to mess with you, Mike. I'm not going to mess with Mike. I went through church them like this for a while. Hoodwink. Bamboozled. When I came to PWM, Stan, I had, at 50 some years old, I had never had a pair of pants on. Hoodwinked. Bamboozled. No makeup, no lipstick, black long dresses. Oh my God, couldn't have my arm out. Ooh, Jesus. You hussy, you. Come on, let's be real. Bamboozled, hoodwinked. That's what I was taught. What did it have to do with the inner man? What did it have to do with what was going on the inside of me? Christianity is mostly man-made. Holy Spirit trying to do a new thing. He's, as Pastor said, did Pastor say that this morning? That the light is trying to come. The light is trying to come. We've been walking in darkness. The blind leading the blind. And we all thought we was on our way to heaven. And you know what? We used to say, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm in so glad, and I'm enjoying the trip. Sure you are. You're just as carnal and worldly as you can be. Yeah, you're enjoying it. Sure you're having a good time. You don't go to the club and dance no more. You come to church and shout. And I was thinking this morning, Anika, I thought this morning, I said, shout me, hello! Dances. Come on. Come on, come on, y'all. Dances. But we were taught to shout. Woo! But when the dance comes, we get quiet because we're waiting on the shout. We're not quiet because we're enjoying the presence. We're waiting on the shout. When is the shout going to come? When Pastor going to hoop? Somebody said some time ago, I went to PWM and he didn't preach. That's what they told me. I said, what do you mean he didn't preach? I said, yes, he did. No, he didn't, because he didn't hoop not one time. Y'all see what I mean? See what I'm trying to tell us. He's trying to get us out of the old thing. He's trying to get us out of the grave of Christianity. Jesus, help me. We've been buried alive into the form of religion and Christianity. And Christ is trying to dig us out. The Holy Spirit is trying to dig us out. He's trying to dig us up. He's trying to dig us up and bring us to life in Him. Life in Him. Life in Christ Jesus. I know it's hard to fathom that. The form is so, Pastor, the form is so, Lord have mercy. The form, Mike, the form of Christianity is so strong, Anika. The form of Christianity. The Holy Spirit is pleading with us and trying to demonstrate Himself to us. But the form of Christianity. Read Acts. And I really love you. Go read my notes. None of this is on my notes. Not one of it. Holy Spirit doing what He wants to do. Go read Acts. A form of Christianity. just a form. It's a form. It's not the real thing. He's trying to give us the authentic. He's trying to give us the authentic. We don't even know that we don't have the real thing. When I came here 15 years ago, I knew by the Holy Ghost that something was missing. And I thank God for that. I thank God. Somebody used to say, what are you looking for? And I said, I don't know, but I know I'm looking for something. Some of us don't even have the insight or intuition to even look for something else. But at least I thank God for grace and mercy. That he put something on the inside of me. And said, how long are you going to stay here? How long? How long? How long? And I came over to something totally new, y'all. And it was hard. That's why I know y'all hard. I know. I don't even worry about it. It was hard. It was hard to come in here and sit in the quietness. It was hard to come in here and sit in the quietness. Because I was used to all of the hooping and the hollering, all the noise. And I was told that was church. It was hard. But at least I had a knowing that there was something new and something different. And I was willing. I was willing. See, you got to have a willing heart and a ready mind. If you want to get where God is trying to take us today. You got to have a willing heart. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult on your flesh. See, this is flesh breaking stuff right here. This is flesh breaking service right here. This is flesh breaking a top. I'm not jumping up not one time. My flesh got to sit right here. Bring my flesh subjection. And prayerfully bring my mind in. And then the Holy Spirit began to minister to me. See, this was a flesh-breaking day-to-day pastor. See, that's how the Holy Spirit got to break through our flesh first before he can even get to our spirit. He's got to break through, Rob. And this morning, this is breakthrough day. This is breakthrough in the spirit realm. He's transitioning us into a new order, a new life, a new way of doing things. The heavenly way, Do y'all think Jesus gave his life for what we call Christianity now? Do you really think? Think about it. Anybody saw the passion? Do y'all think he went through that? I call it the whipping post. Do y'all think he went through all of that for what we call Christianity now? No. No. He bled, died, was buried, and rose again to bring us into a new order, a new resurrected life, a new way of living. That's what he did it for. A new order, a new life, a resurrected way of doing it. Come out of your flesh. Just come out of your flesh. Just lay your flesh down and let your spirit man rise. Let it float up into the heavens. Let your spirit, you sitting in that seat, but you're gone. I've ascended. I'm in a new place. I'm in a new place. Some of us in here this morning was in a new place. Mike, I saw you back there on that drum. You was in a new place. He was like, oh, I watched him for a few minutes. Oh, Jesus. I said, oh, he's going to leave us in a minute. I heard a pastor say that in their worship service, the Spirit of God is so strong and the people are so sensitive to the Spirit that they literally float. They literally float, Chris. They say they have to tie ropes to their legs. They're so sensitive to the Spirit and they want to get out of this world so bad. And I thought about that, Mike. I said, oh, don't put no rope on me. You know how I would be me. I'm like, no, let me float. Pastor, let me, if I ever start floating in here, I'm telling you now, Stan, don't get no rope. Just let me go. Just let me go. He's trying to do a new thing. He's trying to take us higher. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The road he's trying to make is the wilderness of our lives. He's trying to bring water to our dry desert, so-called Christian lives. He's trying to do a new thing in us. We have to press on, y'all. Paul said, I press toward the prize of the high calling. What does that mean? He didn't say an earthly calling. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize. There's a prize. There's a reward. There's a heavenly reward. There's a pastor. There's a sweet, sweet reward. My God. Mike, sometimes when I press in, the sweet reward of his presence come and just have waves of his glory and his goodness just flowing all over me. And that's something you cannot, I'm trying to tell you, but until you experience it, it's hard for you to grasp what I'm trying to say. We have to press in. Press into a new order of the Spirit. We can't stay where we've been before. We can't stay here, Lord. We can't. We cannot. This is a new day. It's a new time. The old life has passed away, and the new life has come. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. We can't keep doing the old thing. How many of us would be honest with ourselves and say, after we supposedly accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, how much of our life really changed? How much? How much of our life really changed? Really? The old life has to leave us. The old Christian life has to leave us. I'm going to be bold enough to say it. The old Christian religious life has to leave us. And we have to enter into the new order. The Holy Spirit has a different way of doing things than we even know about. We haven't even understood it yet. It takes light and revelation and illumination to come. And until you give God a divine yes in your spirit today, you're not even going to be illuminated. You got to give him a yes. I don't care. I don't see a thing. I don't understand. Y'all know we talk about Abraham faith and we the sons of Abraham. But Abraham didn't have a clue where he was going. But he had a divine yes down in his heart. When the father said, leave everything you have and come with me, he said, yes. He said, I will show you the new place you're going to go to. He didn't know. It's going to take faith. It's going to take. And a divine yes takes faith. I don't understand it. Tawana, I've never experienced it. I don't know what Pastor Jerry talking about. I don't know what that woman talking about. But if you put a divine yes down in your heart, a divine God, I'm willing to go with you and allow you to birth in me and let the light and the revelation of who you are penetrate the very core of my being. And now I'm a new creature. Only then you become a new creature. Because the old way of thinking, the old way of being, the old way of looking at life has passed away. And now light has come. I've been illuminated. Heaven is shining on me. Heaven is shining on me. Heaven is shining. Heaven is dawning on us, Pastor. We say we've been baptized in the Spirit, but have we really been baptized in the Spirit? If we've been baptized in the Spirit, we've been baptized into a new order. We've been baptized into a new way of doing things. We've been baptized into an unlimited source of power. An unlimited, Mike, source of power. If we've been truly baptized into the new life and into the new order. And God is not a stationary God. He's always moving. He's always giving revelation. He's always bringing more understanding. He's always giving you new wisdom. Lord, pass away your Bible. I was hoping you was going to bring it out here today. I hope you don't get upset with me. Yeah, I know you are. Okay. He don't ever know what I'm going to do. Stand, he'd be nervous. Everybody in here that know me, everybody in here that know me get nervous when they give me the mic. Because they don't have a clue what's going to come up and come out. But Ron said something prophetically yesterday. And Ron, I'm going to try to paraphrase it, but you have your notebook with you? Okay. Ron said something like this yesterday. The scriptures, I hope he ain't have no notes in here. The scriptures were the experiences. See what you're reading here? This is what man experienced. See, that's what Moses experienced, Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah. These were their experiences. And they just happened to get written down in this book. Come up here, please, Miss Lady, with the glasses on right here. See, and we take this. Lord have mercy. The first Sunday or the second Sunday I was here. You know what Pastor told me? I'm going to do it gently, Pastor. I'm going to do it very gently. You know what he told me? Throw your Bible away. And I thought the man had lost his mind. Because I had the NIV, I had the Amplified, I had the Message, I had the Life, I had the Living, I had the New Trend. I had about 9-10 Bibles, y'all. I said, that's a lot of throwing away. That's a lot of money, too. But that was their experiences. What's your experience? What's your experience? What you writing? Come on, what you writing? What you writing by the Spirit? What's God putting in your heart? What is he showing you? What is he delivering you from? What is he telling you? What is he bringing you out of? What doors are he opening? What miracles he's giving? How he parting the Red Sea for you? What is he doing? What's he doing in your life? That's your Bible. That's your Bible. That's your Bible. That's a reference point. Because after you have your experience, then you're going to go back and see it. Somebody else did it too. So God, I know this is God. So I ain't talking about trying to make up no stuff. So I ain't talking about making up. See, y'all, we done made up too much already. You know? Come on. When you tell me to leave and cleave, we can go to the Bible and we can find it. A lot of what I know now, I was giving it to me and never read it before. All them versions I had. Never understood any of it. But God's trying to write our story. He's trying to write our story. He's trying to give us personal experiences in the new order. See, in the old order, all you're doing is reading. Where the Bible? The old order is this. This is the old order, y'all. This is the old order. You just read it, you memorize it, has no effect on your life. You read it. Yeah, we read it. And some of us can quote from Genesis to Revelation with very little life in it. Where's the life of Christ in it? If you read from Genesis to Revelation, you should understand and find Christ. He's in every book. He's in every book. You can sit down, baby. He's in every book. Well, what are we doing? The new order is just a... Somebody said Wednesday night, pastors kept talking about the new order, and I didn't quite understand it. But the new order is just living in the revelation and the understanding of the Holy Spirit and living in Christ Jesus and going into the heavenly realms. That's all the new order is. Don't be stationary. Don't be locked into this world. Don't be locked into this world. Why y'all think Jesus said be in the world, but don't be of the world? Oh, we read it. We read it, but we ain't have a clue what that mean. We don't understand what that mean. We don't have what Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We don't have no clue what that mean. I'm still thinking the same old way I was thinking. I'm looking at Rocky and thinking the same old thing I was thinking. Come on now. I'm looking at my situation and thinking the same old thing I was thinking. I'm feeling the pain in my body and I'm thinking the same old way I was thinking. Let me hurry up and get to the doctor. The same old way I was thinking. Pastor said, we got to get sickness off of us. That's the new order. There's no sickness among you. James said, if any be sick among you, call for the elders of the church. They're going to pray over you in faith, and you're going to be saved and healed. That's the new order. We got 30,000 members of church, but where is the new order? Who's getting saved? Who's getting delivered? Who's getting healed? Who? They telling us to go to the physician. James said there was physicians back in the day, but he didn't tell them to go to the physician. He said, call for the elders. Call for some faith-filled people. Call for some faith-filled people. Don't call for your Bible. He said, go call for your Bible. If the Bible not in you, you're in trouble. Hello? If the Bible not in you, you're still in trouble. If John 3:16 don't really mean, hello? We still got the Nicodemus spirit. We still don't understand the new birth. We don't understand the new order. We don't. Same Nicodemus spirit. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews and was a learned man. Had all kinds of knowledge. Had all the scriptures. But he went to Jesus because he wanted to. I don't understand. What are you talking about? See, Jesus was walking in a new order when he walked the earth, y'all. He brought a whole new order to the earth. And that's why the Pharisees hated him. Church folks hated him. Church folks don't understand the new order. Jesus brought a whole nother order. Another way of doing things. Another lifestyle of compassion and love and healing and deliverance and joy and peace. I know we don't think we can enter into it, but oh my God, I'm on my way. I'm so happy I'm crazy. I am. I tell Pastor all the time, as a pastor, I'm so happy I'm stupid. Don't have Felisa. Felisa, I'll be walking through here during the week. Oh, they think, and then Shanae. Shanique. Come up here, baby. Shanique. Shanique, no, I can tell you. Come on, sweetheart. Come on. See, you can enter into something brand new and won't nobody no more depressed than me. Nika, am I a changed woman? That's my daughter right there. I don't have to step in and just try to tell y'all something. I'm entering into a new order. You can steal from me. It's okay. You can lie on me. It's okay. The devil can try to give me cancer. It's okay. Because it can't stick. Who, Shande? Hey, Bashanda. He, Bashande. She, Baheta. Pastor, I looked the other day and I looked at a picture with my bald head. And I had to get down on my knees and cry. Because other than my hair being gone, there was a glow on me. I said, God, what in the devil was that? I said, my God, what did you do? What did you do? Cancer came, but in the new order. In the new order, I didn't look like I was dying. In the new order, I would call pastors and say, this chemo about to take me out. But in the new order, I came in here every Sunday. Ooh, Jesus. Every Sunday. The new order. So I'm talking about a new way of living, y'all. A new order. Shanice, what do I come through here singing most days? I feel heaven. Sing it for me, baby.
I don't know.
But I come in here every day. As soon as I put the key in the door, I come in singing. I feel heaven in this place. His glory is invading every space. And I know heaven is in this place. Every day. You can go sit down, sweetheart. Every day. Every day. Every day. Got to sing something. She got to sing something. See, this church. See, we have church up in here. CRCA, we have church. We ain't just got teachers. We got believers. We got folks that's hungry for God. We got people that want the new order. We got people that say, I got to come out of the old thing. I got to move my van. I got to clean it out. I got to do what you tell me to do. I got a divine yes in my heart. I got a divine yes. I got a divine yes. There's a new order working. She don't understand it yet. But Pastor, there's a new order working in her. There's a new way of life. There's a new way of thinking. There's a new way of looking at things. That's all the new order is. That's all. The old has passed away. The old has passed away. Do y'all know what the butterfly? Anybody ever studied the caterpillar and the butterfly? See, the caterpillar is the old way. That's all. But the caterpillar is the old way. The caterpillar is the old way. And sometimes we go through that transformation and that metamorphosis. We don't like the metamorphosis process. See, we don't like that. We don't like the metamorphosis process. See, right now, she's in the metamorphosis process, and she's having a little bit of a hard time with it. But see, she needs some coaches. She needs some mentors. Somebody say, hang in there, baby. Press on. Press on. Press on. Press on. I see a wing coming. 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 Oh, I see another wing. Press on. Press on. I see your color changing. I see the beauty of heaven all over you. Change, 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 change. I'm talking change, people. I'm talking change. I'm talking change. The caterpillar is no longer a caterpillar. He's a butterfly now. He's totally different. He's brand new. That's the new order. The caterpillar leaves the old order and goes into the new. Totally change. But see, we don't like the modern metamorphosis process, whatever it is, whatever that word is, whatever that word, that big word, that big word right there. We don't like that process, but you got to go through it. See, I'm not going to tell you to get to the new order easy. See, we're going to quit. We're going to quit. As soon as a little pain come, as soon as a little disappointment come, you can't quit. See, once you get in the process, we're in the process now, Taba. You can go ahead, baby. We're in the process now. I want to lay hands on everything in here. We're in the process now. Crystalline, you're in the process. You can't quit now. See, that caterpillar, it will die a natural death if it quits. Right in church. Right in church. Right in church. You're going to die a natural death. And they're going to put you in a casket and roll you up front. Put a whole bunch of flowers around you. Ridiculous. There you go. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. But there's a new order. There's a new place in God. He's trying to get us to now. Now it shall spring forth. Now you should see it with your own eyes. There's still miracles happening. In the new order, a miracle is just live, just natural life. You don't even call them miracles. Read Acts. They ain't call them miracles. We call them miracles. Acts didn't say nothing about miracles. They were just healing, raising the dead, and going about their business. Just new order. That's everyday life. That's just everyday life. You walk past me and you got a disease, disease go in Jesus' name. I ain't got to make no hooping and hollering, going to get no oil and slapping you in. Because life will kill death. Life will kill death. Did Jesus' life kill death? After 3 days of death, life killed death. And if you got enough life in you, you would kill the death around you. That's resurrection power. That's resurrection power. That's resurrection power. Stop complaining about what is. And change it. You change it. He said, I give you power and I give you authority, but it's only in the new order. So you don't use it in the old order. This doesn't work in the old order. See, we read those scriptures. Those folks was in a new order. We try to quote a scripture, binding and loosing. You can't bind and loose nothing in the old order. You don't have no authority or power till you get over into the new order where Christ reigned. Where the Holy Spirit has demonstration and manifestation. Come on, Holy Ghost. That's the new order. We take those scriptures and try to live in the old order with them. Don't work. No work, no power. No power, Mike. No power. It's only in the new order and the new way of doing things. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked yesterday, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. I'm not going to be conformed to sickness. I'm not going to be conformed to poverty. I'm not going to be conformed to unforgiveness. I'm not going to be conformed to lack. I'm not going to be conformed to frustration. Those are the ways of the world. Just not going to be conformed to it. I'm not. Let it have me. Just not. Don't be conformed to what's going on around you. You take in the new order, you can step above it. You can live above it. You can live above it and take authority over it. You don't have to live a defeated life. Because in the new order, it's nothing but victory. It's nothing but victory in Christ Jesus. But you got to go through the process. See, we don't want to go through the process to get to be the butterfly. And the butterfly just represents the new order. Y'all see how the butterfly soars? Man, them things. Ain't they beautiful, Bernadine? But we don't want to go through the process. We want to stay stuck on the ground, caterpillar complaining, mumbling and grumbling, talking about what's not happening. God said, I'm trying to bring you into a new lifestyle, a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things. He has set a charge and a challenge on PWM to live in the new order. This was not Pastor Gary's idea. This was not his idea. And the only way you're going to do it is you're going to have to catch on fire. The man who's going to catch the fire and hold it and be a watchtower is the one that's going to be a beacon light and live in the new order. So you got to catch on fire. You got to be, come on. You got to let the Holy Ghost burn on you. Tozer told us, you know what? I thank God for Pastor Gary. There's a book called, is it Life in the Spirit by Tozer? Life in the Spirit by Tozer, A.W. Tozer. We went through that. 2 years or three? 3 years, Bernadine. Every Wednesday night. Every first Wednesday night. We went through Life in the Spirit by A.W. Tozer. That's how long it took us. Come on, I'm going to be honest with you. The first year was so good. Yeah, we was, yeah, that's some good stuff. Second year, my Lord, I really don't have the Holy Spirit. Third year, Lord Jesus, you can do this in me. You can birth in me a new order. See, it takes time, y'all. It takes time. It takes time to learn about new things. It takes time. It takes a yes and an amen to I want to know all of God, the fullness of God. He don't want to give you just a little bit of him. Yes, we do all in here. If we say we do have some of him. May I have my water, please? May I have my water, please? I'm not going to pour it on you. You take top off it for me. I'm not going to pour it on you. I'm not going to pour it on you. I'm not. Take the paper. He's shaking, y'all. He can't even take the paper. He can't even take the paper. He's shaking so. I'm a radical person, y'all. I'm radical for Jesus. If it was up to me, I'd take this bottle of water and just sling it over all y'all. I would. And then tell Pastor, get the other bottle and sling it on me. Just do Mike. See, we do this with Jesus. When we come and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we just take a sip. And we satisfy. We just take a sip, Stan. We just take a sip. And then we go to church for 90 years. with that one sip, Miss Joyce. Miss Joyce, ain't that sad? Miss Joyce, isn't that sad? With that one sip, we go through life and wonder why the devil is reaping havoc in our life. Off that one sip. That one sip. Isn't that sad? That one sip. He said, come unto me, all you that hunger and what? My Lord, Holy Ghost. If you want it, you can get it. See, but you got to want it. He said, you come. I'm not going to go get you. I'm not going to drag you. I'm not going to force you. And I'm not going to make you. But if you're thirsty, I've got some living water. He don't just call it water. He call it living waters. What he told that woman at the well? If you drink this water, if you drink this water, you're not going to ever be thirsty anymore. You're going to drink the Holy Spirit and he's going to fill you up to the overflow. And then he what? You know what? The wells never run dry. A real well never runs dry. See, I grew up in the country with the wells. And you go to that, you can pump that well and that water just flow. That water just flow. And he said, out of your belly. But see, if you don't drink it, it's not in you. How can it flow out of you if you haven't put it in you? We gonna get up here and quote, out of my belly flow rivers of living water, and all you have was a... That don't produce no living water. That does not produce living water. The life of Christ. The life of Christ, y'all. I know that's hard. It's hard for me. And I get challenged every day. But Pastor Gloria, every day I say, oh, the life of Christ. The life of Christ, Miss Brenda. Miss Brenda knows she work on my last nerve. She do. We love each other. And I work on her last nerve. But we love each other to life. We do. We love each other to life. And we both be saying, the life of Christ. The life of Christ. Because you know you can't do it in your flesh. See, that's the mistake we make. We try to do it in our flesh. The flesh is the old order. I can't love Rocky like I'm supposed to love her in my flesh. I'm going to see all her faults. All of them. All her flaws. But then Paul said, don't know no man after the flesh. I don't see nothing but a sanctified woman full of God with wisdom and revelation and knowledge and the glory of God all over her. That's the new order. How we see, that's how we become family, y'all. That's how we become a community. When we're in the old order, we can't do it. Old order cannot do it. Old order cannot become a family, a spiritual Christian family. It takes a new order. Because in a new order, we're going to love each other. In spite of all of our differences, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how crazy Mike is. That's my son. I want to pour some water on you so bad. But see, he's trying to take us stand into a new way of living. We've been hoodwinked. We've been bamboozled. But he's pulling down the strongholds. He's pulling them down in me. He's pulling down in me. The way I think and the way I look at life. And we're not just going to take a sip. We're going to drink the fullness of Christ. All that he is what I want. You know, this church is called Prevailing Word, right? You know what it's called? Everybody turn around and look in the back. Prevailing. That means you're going to have to go through some things. See, the word comes, but if it doesn't prevail in your life, it just rolls over you like water off a duck's back. It takes 3 years it took for Tozer to get on the inside of us. 3 years, Mike. 3 years. 2 years of don't waste your sorrows. Come on. Come on. It takes a minute. That caliper, it takes a process. Prevailing word. And only the Holy Ghost can help you prevail. The Holy Spirit comes to take completely over. And if we don't grasp this truth, we'll never enter into the new order. We've got to be moving upward and moving forward all the time by the Holy Spirit, entering into the eternal spirit of Christ Jesus, making us whole and wonderful and changed into his image. Transformation, not conformation. We cannot be conformed. We have to be transformed. We have to be. That's the process of the caterpillar. And the transformation is conditional. We have to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. We have to let him give the revelation to us of what needs to be transformed. We can't do it ourselves, y'all. There's no need to go home and say, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to da-da-da-da. Forget it. Just set before the Lord and give him a divine yes. Just tell him yes. He'll do the work. The Holy Spirit will do the work. And he'll lift us into blessed fellowshipness with him. And we'll walk in God-like power with him. And we'll have power over everything else outside of our lives. And we'll even have power over the earth. He's waiting on, the earth is waiting on the sons of God. But we've got to make an exit from this earth. I love that when I read that. We've got to make an exit from this earth. And God has been preparing PWM to exit this earth. To come out of it. Come out from among them. We can be on this earth, but we can be living in the spirit and in heavenly places all the time. Only the working of the cross and the resurrection power can do this in our lives. Yesterday we had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He pierced our very souls, our very beings. He took us into a new order where we're going to live and stay. This is not just some far-fetched idea that Pastor thought of. This is what God is calling us for. The rest of that stuff don't even matter. I'm here. And I'm done. The Holy Spirit is saying to us today that I'll do it if you want it. I'll give you a place in the kingdom, because that's all the new order is. We don't want to just die and go to heaven. We want a new place in the kingdom. We want a card-holding place in the kingdom, that this is for Pastor Jerry right here. You know how you go into a fancy dinner and they have a card with your name on it? You sit right here. Place card holders. Paul said, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. I got a place card holder. But it's in the new order. It's when the Holy Spirit is reigning and ruling. And my life is one hidden in Christ Jesus. No more I. No more Geraldine. But Christ that liveth on the inside of me. I can't have my way in Christ. In the new order, I have no way. It's just his way. The will to do of his good pleasure. Whatever pleases him. Whatever pleases him is what we want to do and who we want to be. And I thank God for bringing me and allowing me to taste. David said, taste and see that he's good. I've tasted of him. I've tasted him. God forbid that you taste of him and you turn back. Most of us don't want it because we haven't tasted it. God, pray. Pastor says this all the time. Pray and ask God to show you. Because until he show you, you don't have anything to aspire to. Ask him to show you about the new order. Give you revelation about it. How to live in the spirit. How to go into the heavenlies. How to pierce the darkness. How to do this. I don't know, Holy Spirit, but I'm asking you to show me. Take possession of my life. And reign and rule and have the preeminence in me. And over all my life circumstances and situation. He'll do it if we want him to. And if we yield to it. If we surrender. It has to be a surrendering. It has to be a surrendering. So I thank God for the new order. The new life of living in the spirit. The new way of thinking. A new way of just everything. Everything is new. Everything. Everything becomes new. Every day is new. Everything is new, Mike. It's funny, but everything is new. I mean, I was looking at something else. I said, it's new. It don't matter. I see it in a new way. Yes. I see my children in a new way. I see Derek in a new way. See, you got to see it in a new way. In a whole new way. That's it. The new order does that for you. It changes everything about you. It does. It does. And you'll know when you're entering into it. You'll know. Because you'll remember, oh, the old man used to do that. This is how the old man used to affect. But now the new woman. I'm just a carefree. I don't have a care in this world. I'm entering into his rest, Mike. And I'm praying that the next 70 years will even be better. The next 70 years in the new order of living in God and in Christ Jesus. I live and move and have my being. And I thank him. I thank Pastor for obeying the Holy Spirit. Because I'm sure it wasn't an easy task for him to allow the Holy Spirit to build this house to this point, in this place. But out of his obedience, here we sit today, postured under the fountain of heaven. We are postured under the fountain of heaven today. And heaven is reigning and ruling more than ever in our lives. And we thank God for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hope we can grasp the dynamics of what was said this morning, ministered this morning. There's so much going on in my mind, so many experiences. The one thing I, as Pastor Jerry was ministering, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't contradict itself. And what I found is that one of the things that the Lord had said he was doing with me, there's so much about my life, if I could share with you right now, that's going on. It would blow your minds because it's blowing my mind. And the reason I said, if we knew that the Holy Spirit didn't contradict itself, the one thing that the Lord had said to me, he says, I'm writing the epistles of your life. And so, like I said, if I could just tell you right now, and I'm not in a position to tell you about the many things that are happening, how I don't even recognize me. Some of it you would frown upon because you wouldn't be able to withstand my nakedness. If it was exposed to you, you wouldn't be able to bear my nakedness. But the thing about it is that I'm seeing God reducing me to a place. I was telling someone yesterday as I was leaving out, I said, Lord, I'm drowning. I'm drowning. You know, but and drowning in the natural context is not a good thing because, you know, your lungs fill up with water. It's the inability to breathe. But the Lord revealed to me that drowning in him is a good thing because I take on a good thing. I remember maybe a year or so ago, I went to a prophetic session. And Crystalline shared in that session. She said, there's a song it's a secular song that a lot of people like, I think John Legend is his name, All of Me. And I think it's a part that says, my head's underwater or something. I'm drowning, Lord. I'm drowning, Lord. But nevertheless, I'm doing fine. Because, see, I wasn't breathing on my own. The breath of life now that we talk about, it wasn't the breath of my own natural being. It was being facilitated by someone greater than myself. So while I'm in the drowning, while I'm so deeply submerged in what I'm in, I'm doing fine because God is doing something in me. I heard when I first came to this ministry, Pastor Garner's theme was, and when I said theme, he was preaching on a series, and I think this was kind of the foundation, probably a prevailing, and he was saying challenging the establishment. And that was so many years ago, and this is what's happening. And I don't know if you have an ear to really capture what's being said. Some of it probably sound a little bit outlandish because it almost could sound like it could step over into, if I may, New Age, possibly cultish. You know, when we are so accustomed to hearing the old, under the old regime, under the old religious God, under the doctrines of men, under the doctrines of religion that makes God's word of no effect, we begin to call it something else. We begin to identify and name it something else. You know, but I remember in Galatians, it says, who be with you? You know, because you began to hear another gospel other than the gospel that's able to redeem. And so this morning, a lot of what Pastor Jerry was saying, even when she was talking about the butterfly, and something about that, what I heard is that at some point, the butterfly is in a cocoon, correct? And a lot of times we want to, if we put our natural hands to try to help or aid one another. Oh, come on, Rocky. You know, it's going to be all right. The Lord says, and we tried to aid in that. It says when you try to aid that butterfly, you cut it and clip it to try to make his, that metamorphosis process easy. What you do is destroy. You destroy the process. So while we try to do a good thing, there, you know, it's just kind of like Uzzah. He went to do a good thing by steadying the ark. But what happened? It cost him his life. So doing good in our sight is always not God's good or God's best for our lives. And so I think this morning with the Lord, hear what the Spirit says. No, we may not have understood anything that took place this morning. She said it was kind of quiet up in here, you know, and so we moved in there. But the one thing that I heard in that was that the Lord says, be still. There's a stillness that needs to, because we need to know God. See, be still to know. Not just to know, but be still to know that I am God. And so the still, what appeared to be stillness, God, like I'm understanding that there is something bigger, greater, deeper, richer, pure, able to deliver, able to set free, able to hear than what we see just on the outward side. There is, in the midst of what we're going through, God working that creative order, that new order that we're about to transpire in. I'm going to share this a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, I had a situation where I got lost. Didn't know where I was. Just for a time frame of time. It blew my mind. But the interesting thing, I got from point A to point Z, don't know how, safely. I got there safely. I had no memory of what happened, but I got from point A to point Z safely. What I learned, and I'm just going to put this out there because, see, like I said, we're moving and we're going somewhere. And I thought about that thing, and it's been bothering me. You know, we talk about how Enoch walked, and he walked, and he walked until he was no more. He walked. I moved. Could I have perhaps, somebody had to assist me to get from, with no mental capacity of my own, to get from here to miles down the road to a safe place until my family could locate me and find me. But I was in a safe place. These things that we've been asking the Lord to do, God, it's taken on. I don't know if we understand, if we realize how much of the new order is taking life. It's taking on life here at Prevailing. Yes, yes. More and more, like she said, we're not just looking to be conformed. We're looking to be transformed. And the transformation is taking place right here in Prevailing now. Yes. He's transforming us. He's making us into something greater and bigger and supernatural. More so. You asked for it. You asked for it. We asked for it. And so it's happening. He's bringing it to fruition. It may not have been the road that you've chosen. It may not be the way that you want it to be. The process may not necessarily be the process that you would have asked for. But I can tell you that it's going to be for a greater good. I'm going to sit down on this. A few weeks ago, or maybe a little bit longer than that, I heard this word, interrupted presence. Interrupted presence. No such thing. Can presence be interrupted, first of all? And my daughter called me. One of my daughters, my youngest daughter, called me, going through a crisis. And as a mother, the first thing you want to do in a crisis, this wasn't running to an aid. I got in my car. You know, I could talk to a couple of people. I wanted to go and assist. That's a mother's thing. Your child is crying for help, asking for help. And I kind of vacillated with the idea I told you is I don't want to be, Lord, I don't want to hinder or get in the way if you're doing something. I didn't have a direction or stop necessarily. So I talked, I think it was Pastor Mike, and he said, well, you know, he didn't say anything, don't go. So I told my daughter, I said, I'm going to go. I said, if in the process while I'm going, if the Lord says otherwise, but right now I'm going. And I had it. So I had it in that direction. I headed to her. And the Lord was ministering to me. But not was only was he ministering to me to prepare me for getting there. When I got there, he had already. And this is what I got. When I got there, in what was a crisis, when I walked in, and I had this stuff that I was going to say, but then I couldn't say anything. But there was such a peace. And the thing was is that she was so glad to see me, but there were no words spoken. You have to know my daughter. She was glad to see me, glad to have me there. And other times she went on privacy, but no words were spoken. What the Lord showed me in that moment is that presence had already gone. I represented the ambassador for heaven. He says, when you walked in, presence came. But if you had said and stepped out on what you had already configured to do in your mind to try to sustain, that would have been the interruption of presence. It would have been the interruption of peace. It would have been the interruption of the presence of the Lord. And so these are the things that he wants to do for us. These are the things that he's doing for us. Kristen and Cammie dance. We dance. Your scars are beautiful. It's nice to know I'm not alone. I found my home here in your arms. And a couple of weeks ago, he said in prayer, and this is what this is all about. This place, this house is becoming more and more. Not just God's house, but it's becoming our home. I find myself more and more being here every day. At first, I kind of said, not happening. You know, I'm retired. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, the spin. But God knew how to make that shift happen for me without me contending. I look forward to being here. You know, I came yesterday, and I'm saying all of this around the bush. I just want you to understand, if nothing else, the dynamics of what we've asked God for and how faithful he is in accomplishing it. He said he won't send his word, you know, and not perform it. But it's going to establish, it's going to accomplish, it's going to make happen everything that has been assigned and destined to do, because it's purposeful. It's giving you significance. It's transforming you. It's making you that supernatural being that we've asked for. So we're coming into the supernatural realm more and more. The blood has never lost its power. And it still works today in our lives. And then the last thing. On this. My third quote. The last thing. I'm trying to get it all with making it too long. But I'm gonna close with this. The other scripture that I kind of heard. Galatians 1, I believe it is, says, all of this is because he wants to reveal his son in us, that we might preach him to the heathen. But the only way we can do that, what did Paul say? He said all that. He says, but I didn't confer with flesh and blood. So see, the thing is when the naysayers come and when the negative narrative come to try to tell you, is all of that necessary? Do you really have to do that? Did God not say? Did pastor, you know? You're going to have to know that God says that this is so that my son can be revealed, so that you can preach, and preaching doesn't necessarily all the time mean that we're going to be doing this. Your life preaches. Your life preaches so that our lives will be living testimonies. It will speak louder sometimes to people than a lot of talking, because the world has a saying after a while that when they've heard a lot of us saying a lot of religious jargon is that talk is cheap. So let the evidence speak in your walk and in the fruit that we bear. So all of this is it. He said, I confer not with flesh and blood, because the ultimate goal is that God wants to reveal his son to us so that we can preach him to the heathen. Amen. And I think that's all. Prophetic. Just a reminder, today we will have personal prophetic for anyone that desires it. If you're interested, please see Miss Joyce over here. And if we have any visitors, I would ask that we be sensitive that if there are any visitors that want prophetic prevailing people, let's let them go first. Okay, so be sensitive to letting our visitors have the first at that. All right, so personal prophetic today after service, immediately after the closing. That's the closing. Closing prayer. But thank you, Lord God. Oh, my God. Oh, great is your faithfulness. And new are your mercies, God. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for all that has transpired, oh God. Father, we thank you that you're teaching us in every situation, oh God, how to look to you and depend and lean on you. We thank you for all that has transpired in this day, oh God. Let us not dismiss, Father, what has taken place. That which we don't understand, oh God, let us see law on those times and those moments, oh God. We thank you for continually leading us, oh God, and directing our paths, oh God. We thank you for ordering our footsteps, oh God. And so we ask you in this day, God, as we leave this place, oh God, that we'll continually stay in your presence, oh God. We thank you for great is your faithfulness towards us. And new are your mercies each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.